of Concordia Seminary. Your hostess is the seminary's director of publicity, Gladys Orpo.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Barbara Silfo welcoming you to our March Monday Memos from Concordia Seminary. We have in our studio today a member of the faculty who has been an important part of the seminary scene for several years, but whom we've never had on this particular radio program, Dr. Clyde Kaminska. Welcome, Dr. Kaminska. I know you have many interesting things to tell us today.
Well, the most interesting right at the moment is thank you for introducing me in that way as I interrupted you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we talk about you and the work that you're doing here at the seminary, let's bring our radio audience up to date on what's happening on the campus. The first date circled on my calendar is tomorrow, March 4th, when we will dedicate the Roger Hines Memorial. Since you've been working very closely on that project, how about you telling us something about that?
Well, Gladys, Roger Hines was a 61 graduate of the seminary and went into the chaplaincy. And while serving in Vietnam in 1969, the helicopter in which he was riding crashed into a mountainside and he was killed. He was on his way to conduct services for the troops. And his family, friends, chaplains throughout the world contributed to a Roger Hines Memorial Scholarship Fund, and also to a Roger Hines memorial, which has taken the form of some artwork to be dedicated tomorrow in the entranceway to our chapel. It's really dedicated to all facets of ministry, but with emphasis on the military chaplaincy. And so, although the family will not be able to be with us, the seminary family will have an opportunity to remember this man's service to his Lord and to all ministers who serve the Lord.
That's tomorrow morning at the regular chapel time, which is 8:40, right?
That's right.
Okay, and anyone in our radio audience is most welcome to attend if he so desires.
I think it'll be interesting, too, because we have military chaplains from the area who will be participating, plus our own students who have had military service of one form or another. Many of them will be in uniform, and so it's a special day for us, and we hope for the Hines family.
Very good. Then the following day, March 5th, is another important day when we will have as our campus guest a very distinguished historian, Dr. Ernest Swiebert. Many of you will immediately associate his name with Reformation history. Dr. Swiebert is the author of the book Luther and His Times, a textbook which is used here at the seminary in all our Reformation courses. Dr. Swiebert, who is 85 years old, will speak on Luther during and after the Reformation, a topic which promises to be most interesting, and coming from a man who has spent no less than 55 years doing research on the man Luther. That lecture begins at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, March 5th, and will be held in Fritzlaff Hall. Then looking further on the March calendar, Wednesday, March 19th has been set aside as a day on which to focus on Black ministries here on our campus. There will again be a convocation at 10 a.m. featuring Pastor William Siebel of Washington, D.C. Pastor Siebel has been in the ministry for 46 years and during all that time has served in Black congregations. I'm sure that he will have a great deal to share with the students. March seems to be the month for an abundance of convocations. The following week, on March 26th, the emphasis will be on Lutherans and Jewish evangelism. The speaker on that day will be Steve Cohen. Steve is of Jewish descent and became a Christian 6 years ago. He is a Missouri Synod Lutheran and a member of our Synod's Committee of Jewish Evangelism. Steve will talk about the challenges and opportunities facing the Lutheran Church in evangelizing the Jewish community. And by the way, he has spoken in more than 250 Lutheran churches throughout the country on more or less the same subject. Well, so much on what's happening on the campus during the month of March. Now on to you, Dr. Kaminska. You came on board here in the fall of 1977 as Director of Seminary Relations, and you came here from our sister institution in Bronxville, New York. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
What were your responsibilities at Bronxville?
Well, they changed over the 21 years of service that I had there. I went to Bronxville originally from Concordia Edmonton as director of athletics, and I coached all of the varsity sports at Bronxville. At that time, it was a prep school and small junior college, and of course, over the years, that also changed. But in 1965, I was asked to found a Department of Student Recruitment and Public Relations at Bronxville because they had not had such an office prior to that. And then in 1971, when the college became a four-year college, we conducted a capital fund drive to build a new library. And because I was reasonably well known in the area, even though I didn't know anything about fundraising, we did conduct a campaign in the East in six states and did build a new library. So my title at the time that I left Bronxville to come to the seminary was Director of Development and College Relations.
I see, Well, here at the seminary, you wear a whole number of hats, don't you?
None too well, but I wear them.
Well, you are, first of all, and primarily, Director of Seminary Relations. And aside from being my boss, what else can you do?
I think that's funny, my boss. That's like getting married where the husband thinks he's the boss. What I do is watch people like you do all the work and I get all the credit.
Now let's be serious.
Well, the funny thing is I really haven't, since 77, although this is my third year here, I don't really think I have carried out the exact responsibilities for which I was hired. Seminary Relations is one of the four divisions of the seminary. And supposedly, my position was to umbrella, you might say, publicity, public relations, special events, financial development, and student recruitment. And there would be directors in each of those areas. But up until this time, we had not filled all those vacancies. Now we have.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year I arrived here, we had no director of student recruitment, and that was very important. And since I had a background in student recruitment, it was suggested that perhaps I could fill that hat, if you will, until we had someone to take the position full time. Well, at the time that we finally did get a director of student recruitment, Pastor Dean Hempelman, we lost our director of development. And since I had a little background in that, the next year I was asked whether I could fill that hat for a while. So my second year was really primarily spent in development. Then, at the end of the year, we determined a capital fund campaign was necessary for the seminary, and because I had some experience in capital campaigns, and we had just hired a brand new director of development, Roger Meyer, I was asked to head up the forward fund, and that has been my prime responsibility this year. But now all the directorships in the division are filled, and thanks to you, I haven't had to worry too much about publicity and publications and the like, and perhaps in the future I'll finally find out what my job really is.
Okay, well, I think you've given us a good overview. It's great when a man can step into any one of these areas, and that's exactly what you have done.
Master of...
No.
Great.
Today, we'd like to... There'd be enough material here, I'm sure, to carry on for a whole hour, but since we are limited, there is another facet of interest that you have that we somehow never hear about, and that's your involvement down at the field house. And today I think we'd like to talk about that a little bit, primarily because this is the end of the basketball season. Tell us, what's your interest and involvement at the field house?
Well, if you promise that there are no alumni listening who might want to hang me in effigy, or really hang me, I've been coaching basketball for the past 2 years, and although our records haven't been totally winning, it has been a very pleasurable experience for me. And so I guess my involvement there is basketball coach for the past 2 years, although that was something I didn't anticipate doing, and it's as much a hobby and enjoyment as it is assignment.
How did that come about?
Well, 30 years ago, I was a very young student, of course.
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago, I played in the first team that Coach Pete Peterson ever coached.
Is that right?
And I played in the first game that was ever played in our field house.
Huh.
And so he and I were quite good friends. And when I arrived here on the faculty, Coach Pete has always given it everything he has in anything he has undertaken, a wonderful Christian man. But his health was not as good as people thought. And yet he feared that stepping out of basketball, even though he should have for health reasons, stepping out at any time might jeopardize the basketball program. And when I arrived on the campus, he made some overtures toward me about coaching, and then went, I believe, to our president, Dr. Bowman, and the board, and asked whether I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had come with a clear understanding that I would not be permitted to coach basketball anymore because my other duties were too time-consuming. And I thought after 25 years of coaching, I was ready to stop. But I had a whistle hanging in my study, and I really didn't enjoy not coaching my first
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
So an agreement was reached among all concerned that I would coach on my own time, so to speak, and make up that time in my other duties on Saturdays or however.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been enjoyable and relaxing for me. I don't know how the players like it, but I have enjoyed it.
Okay, that gives us a good background on that. The seminary experienced a pretty good basketball season this year, did it not?
Well, that depends to what you're going to compare it. To the year ago when we were 3-21, yes. This year the regular season was 9-9, and then when you add tournaments, the final record was 11-12.
Mm-hmm.
And any time a team which is non-scholarship approaches a 50-50 season, it's a good season. It doesn't really compare to the years ago seasons when Coach Pete had some teams that were 19-2 and 18-4 and so forth, but I think we were all pleased.
Mm-hmm. Good. One thing I've wondered about for some time, it seems to me that the seminary used to play major universities such as Valparaiso, Indiana State, and so forth. Whatever happened to those kind of opponents?
Well, that's true, Gladys, and in the minds of many fans, I think they probably asked the same question. And there are probably two major reasons for that. One is the fact that our educational system has changed, and I'll talk about that for a moment. And the other is that the basketball players at the seminary themselves have changed because of the educational system changing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do I mean by that? Well, 30 years ago, when we played Valparaiso and Indiana State and the University of California at Santa Barbara and so forth, we were students who had come right from junior college. We were really, legally, you might say, juniors in college
mm-hmm.
because the seminary system was different. And at that age, we were, I would guess, 99% single and more into athletics as being important to the campus community and the
mm-hmm.
like. And the second change was that the students being fed to the seminary were coming from all of our junior colleges. They were mostly ministerial training institutions. And so I remember walking in here with about 17 or 18 starters from other colleges of our system, and I remember there were 5 or 6 captains of their teams. So we had tremendous material.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that some of them were 6'9 and 6'7 didn't hurt either.
I'm sure not.
Now today, our students are coming in at an older age because they're coming after 4 years of college rather than 2.
Mm-hmm.
And our junior colleges, by and large, are 4-year colleges. They have liberal arts programs, and most of the basketball players at our synodical colleges are no longer ministerial students, but studying in other programs.
Mm-hmm.
So the seminary tends to get students who are older and have not had much experience.
Mm-hmm.
And these two things just won't allow you to play the kinds of teams we used to play.
Yeah. Well, then, what kind of teams do we concentrate on now as far as the opposition is concerned? What is their caliber?
Well, right now we're playing primarily teams that are very near to us, teams right here from the St. Louis area, such as Maryville and Missouri Baptist and Harris Stowe. Interestingly enough, some of those teams were on our junior varsity schedule when I played here, and it was strange for me to get it. My mental set to playing against teams that we didn't think too much of years ago. And now we find that they beat us rather regularly. So we stay around the St. Louis area. In fact, we're in a league of small colleges, and this is a very good opposition for us.
Mm-hmm. However, there still are tournaments with the other canonical schools, aren't there?
The Concordia Invitational Tournament, which was started by Coach Pete 26 years ago, is still going on, and I have to get that in here, Gladys, because this year the seminary did rather well. The tournament was played at Seward, Nebraska, and although we lost the first game to the eventual tournament champions, River Forest, we did come back on Saturday to take third place by defeating Concordia St. Paul, Minnesota, and it was an exciting game, and realizing that the other three colleges do have scholarship players, it was a big win for us, and I know our players were very happy. I always joke in the league that everyone else has taller players and scholarship players, and so they win the games, but we win the pregame prayers.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Do you think that the Concordia Invitational Tournaments are here to stay, or do you think that they will come when they no longer will exist either?
Well, I think tournaments are here to stay, and tournaments involving the Concordias are very good for our educational system, because there's much more to it than playing the game. There's the fellowship that develops among them. I think the tournament will have to change, however. Years ago, when the tournament was conceived by Coach Peterson, there were two four-year teachers' colleges and two seminaries, mm-hmm. and those were the four colleges in the tournament. Now we have four-year colleges all over the country, so to speak, and many of them would like to get into the tournament. On the one hand, the more teams you add to a tournament, the more difficult it becomes to work out the details. And on the other hand, those schools would have great travel expenses if you want to bring in, let's say, Concordia Barnesville, which is a four-year college, mm-hmm. and bring them all the way to Seward, Nebraska. You have to think about stewardship mm-hmm. of money. Mm-hmm. But I think tournaments of some sort among the Concordias are here to stay, but we might see them changing. Perhaps the day will come when the seminaries are no longer involved, mm-hmm. but I think the colleges will continue.
Mm-hmm. How do you react to, how do you feel about the basketball at the seminary sometime in the future again being the important varsity sport that it once was? Did you see that?
No, I don't think that in the words of somebody or other, those days are gone forever. I think because of the type of student we're getting, now we're 58% married, and so students can't really give the time to it that they once gave, and the fact of a lack of experience and so forth, and the fact that they are really postgraduates will never allow us to play the major colleges again. National collegiate rules wouldn't allow that. Secondly, I think that there was a time of that basketball was important to the unifying of the campus and all these young single men who were here, and I remember when the field house would be jammed, and we used to joke about it. It seemed like they were all jammed with single women. The nurses and the Walter Leaguers from the area who came out to see the preachers play. Well, that's all changed now, and I think basketball will continue because it's built on a solid foundation established by Coach Pete. But I think it will continue at a little bit lower level, and it gives our fans a little bit of an outlet and a source of pride, and it gives those athletes who have a little more talent an opportunity to continue to play. But it's going to be just one facet of a wide-ranging athletic program.
I see. Well, what about athletics as such at the seminary? Surely you're not saying that this too might be discontinued.
No, I think we're seeing the stress is changing already, again, under Coach Pete's leadership, although he is now semi-retired and will be replaced by someone else shortly. But I believe our church is becoming very conscious of the physical and emotional stresses placed on pastors. And I think our number one concern will be the general health and the carryover sport values that could be continued later on. Now we have the situation of a man who wants to exercise daily, he graduates, gets a call, and then puts it off because he has so many meetings and so many calls and so many things to do, and suddenly he has health problems at a rather young age. Mm-hmm. I think one of our challenges is to educate our students to the fact that the Lord has many years for them to serve in the parish. Their bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, and they should treat them as such, and they almost owe to the Lord good care of their bodies so that they can serve Him better.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stresses really are on fitness, on carryover sports such as tennis, which can go on a long time. We are trying to conduct various courses for the wives so that they learn something about self-defense, for example. We've got I Quit Smoking clinics and teaching people how to handle heart attack victims, plus everything we can to do on diet and health so that a program will be carried on later in ministry for the good of the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting. How about the athletic facilities that we have here at the seminary? Are they adequate, and how do they compare with those of other synodical schools? I've often wondered about that.
I think I'll answer that one, yes and no. You're getting into one of my pet areas here, because on the one hand, yes, they are very adequate. We have a fine field house to play in. Our tennis courts are kept in good shape, and we have fields. And for the purposes that our athletic department should serve, I think they are very adequate. But I have always believed one of the most important athletic skills is swimming. And I believe a person can be put into a situation where, on the one hand, it might be important to saving his own life, and on the other hand, it's one of the finest physical fitness building tools you can find.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our schools have swimming pools, natatoriums. We do not. I don't really see a time in the immediate future where we're going to get one, but I really wish we had one,
mm-hmm.
because I think it's something very important for future ministry.
Am I correct that a fund for this purpose was begun some years back?
Yes, many years ago there was, and that money is still on deposit. There gaining interest for the seminary, but not nearly enough to build a swimming pool.
So there are no plans for the immediate future to go ahead with that?
I think it's a dream of every administrator, and we wish we could have one, and maybe someday we will, but no plans now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you've given us an excellent picture, Dr. Kaminska, of what's going on at the field house, your involvement with it, and the general area of athletics here at the seminary. Now I'd like to get back in the few remaining minutes that are left on what you said earlier about having charge of the Forward Fund campaign. Can you give us a brief update on what's happening?
Okay, Gladys, I was just going to inject one thing, if I may, just because it might serve to inspire some young man who's listening and considering the ministry. My father was a professional athlete, and as a young boy growing up, I was torn between being a coach and an athlete and being a minister. I never gave the Lord credit enough that he could do both. And when I enrolled in the ministerial program at the seminary, I thought the dream of coaching was over. And yet for 26 years, he has allowed me to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another tribute to the Lord's care of all of us is the fact that my last game last week was my 536th consecutive game without ever missing.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me health and circumstances that I could minister in that way, too. So any young men out there should not limit the Lord's power.
But did you say 536?
Without ever missing one.
My goodness, that's a real record.
Well, I don't know if it's a record for my glory, but certainly for his. As far as the Forward Fund is concerned, the Lord is blessing that effort as well. We have many people working throughout the country on it to meet 8 of our primary needs here at the seminary to raise $2.2 million. And at the moment, we have about $1.35 million in pledges and in cash, and we are hopeful to reach the goal by June 30th. By the way, we've been talking so much about athletics. One of those projects is a very leaky field house roof that needs repair.
Oh, really?
So maybe I can put a plug in there. That's one of our needs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the Lord is blessing our efforts around the country, and we are very grateful to Him. It's a thank offering, and we are thankful.
Wonderful. Well, I see that our time is just about up. Do you have any final
Patrick, you would like to share with us, Patrick Kaminska?
No, except to say how grateful I am that I had a chance to talk about these programs and maybe to also pay tribute once more to that very dedicated man of God, Coach Pete Peterson, who founded most of our sports programs, and because of him, we're seeing them grow.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kaminska, for being with us today and taking time out from your schedule of meeting airplanes and flying all over the country. Thanks again.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Monday Memo from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, with hostess Gladys Sewellflow. This program is brought to you the first Monday of every month at 12:05.